ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Journalism. It's often described as the fourth estate in our democracy, as important to our society as the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. As a listener to public radio, there's no doubt that you appreciate the importance of good journalism. But as you know, journalists around the world are under attack these days, whether it's being taunted with chants of fake news by people at political rallies, or being physically assaulted and even killed by agents of governments unhappy with critical news stories. But despite these challenges, universities across the country continue to prepare the next generation of women and men who will become the journalists of tomorrow. On this edition of UWM Today, we take a look at the state of journalism education. Our guest is David Allen, a professor at UW-Milwaukee's Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies. David was recently awarded UWM's Distinguished Undergraduate Teaching Award, and so we thought, who better to talk about the state of journalism education than David? Welcome to the studio today.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. David, you're a former journalist yourself, practicing journalist before you got into academia, where you now teach students. A lot has changed over your career, hasn't it?
Oh, so much. It's almost mind-blowing to sort of think about it. It's like, so I've been teaching now for 34 years, I guess, when I first started, something like that, when I first started teaching in graduate school. And boy, so much has changed, you know, from the first class I ever taught, we were using typewriters, and today it's everything else. It's, you know, it's just sort of mind-blowing to see in that period of time how far and how much everything has changed.
And it's not just the technology or the tools that journalists use to capture or to preserve the record of the stories that they're covering, but it's the entire environment in which the stories are playing, and beginning with the companies that are employing the journalists themselves.
Oh, everything has changed. It isn't just, you're absolutely right, Tom. It's not just the technology that has changed. It's the economic environment. We've gone from, you know, it being media being incredibly viable economic institutions to really having fundamental challenges just trying to survive. The political environment has changed. The ethical environment has changed. You know, all those technologies that are introduced bring up with them new ethical challenges and different ways of doing things that we would have never envisioned. And so everything has fundamentally changed. And trying to figure out a way to bring all that up and make that relevant to students in their education is a very, very challenging thing.
I suppose if there's one blessing, it's that a 18-year-old or a 20-year-old doesn't have all that history, right? They don't have the same baggage that we might carry around thinking of how good things might have been a decade or two or three ago.
Yeah, they do, although, you know, they have some of it. You know, newer students, they are idealistic, you know, and they have some knowledge of the role that journalism used to play. And, you know, you see, you watch movies and television, you know, and all that is portrayed. And so, you know, they have some sort of idealistic idea of what the practice of journalism ought to be like, I think. You know, so they're not completely unaware of those sorts of things. But, you know, they see it in a different way, you know. They're, you know, it's not just the written word anymore. You know, it's everything else that comes with it. It's podcasts. It's audio. It's everything that, or it's video. Yeah, everything that comes with how to tell a story. They want to do, and they want to be exposed to those sorts of things.
It's actually reassuring to hear that altruism that drew you and me in my previous life to the profession still exists today.
I think it does. You know, I think it just like when we were undergraduates, you know, all students are different. You know, you can't generalize across to everyone. But, you know, I think there are just as many, probably just as many students today who have a very, very idealistic version, idea of what journalism ought to do and what the role of journalism in a democratic society ought to be. And I think that hasn't changed. I think there are just as many students who are interested in those sorts of things.
You know, in the opening of the program, I talked about the way in which the public has changed in not all places, but in many quarters, in terms of their reaction or their response to journalists. Is that dismaying to students? Do they see this, having grown up in a world of social media where there are a million opinions and ideas out there? Has that been a big turnoff that you've had to help them to adjust to?
I don't know if it's a turnoff. You know, the relationship between the journalist and the audience has so fundamentally changed. And most of these students are of the newer ideas about what that interaction ought to be or what that is. You know, when I was a journalist working for a daily newspaper, I had no idea who my audience was. I had no idea if anybody read my stories other than the next day in a courthouse or something, I'd be walking down and somebody would say, "Hey, Alan, I liked your story," or something like that, or the opposite of, "That was the worst piece of garbage I've ever read." And that was the only feedback that I ever got. I had no idea, you know, and in some ways we sort of liked that, because it gave us a tremendous amount of freedom. We could do whatever we wanted to, you know. And I wrote about pretty much what I wanted to write about. Whether anybody read it or not didn't really matter. Students today have to come to the realization that they know instantaneously whether anybody's reading their stories, whether anyone's paying attention to it. You know, whether it's clicked on, whether it's liked, whether it's spread across social media platforms. And what it also means is that they have to start paying attention to those sorts of things, because if they're not getting those clicks, if they're not getting those likes, it influences, you know, their standing and their ability within the organization to progress. And so, you know, that's an entirely different way. And so the students today have to be aware of those sorts of things in ways that I never even had to even concern myself with.
You just had to make sure that that grumpy editor was on your side, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, that's when I started, I mean, the first thing my editor told me was, "You have total freedom to do whatever you want to do until you screw up. And then when you screw up, I'll step in." And I guess I never screwed up, because he never stepped in. But, no, not bad enough anyway. But, you know, that's not the case it is today. You know, I've even had some conversations with journalists over the last few years that I find just absolutely fascinating, where they talk about how they have at least two separate audiences. They have their own audience through their social media platform, whether it's their blog or whether it's their, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and they have that audience, and then they have the institution that they work for, they have that audience as well. So there's two different audiences, and they're constantly thinking about those different audiences that they're trying to address. And I just sometimes I'm just blown away by that, because I'm sort of like, how do you do that? You know, how do you write for different audiences? How do you consider those different audiences? I've even had some journalists tell me about the problems they have when they have some breaking story about where do they put it first, you know, who gets it, and whether it's their audience or the institution's audience, or how they think about that. And that's a really incredibly different environment than anything that I was ever aware of or needed to worry about.
So how does an instructor such as yourself and your colleagues who are teaching at J schools around the country, how do you adapt to that new environment, and how do you get inside the head of a young person who wants to make a career out of journalism?
I think the biggest problem is the time management. It is really difficult to expose students to all of these things that they need to be exposed to, in the short period of time, quite frankly, that we have them. You know, we're still trying to get them through in 4 years. You know, that's what we, you know, we still believe very strongly in a liberal arts education. So they still need to be have that basis. They need to have something to write about, right? And we believe that that liberal arts education gives them that something to write about and helps them understand the world better. And so within all of that, we have to do all those traditional things that they've that we've always done, that journalism educators have always done. And then we have to try to squeeze in this other stuff, such as, well, how do you do video? How do you do audio? How do you have some knowledge about social media platforms? How do you brand yourself? How do you get – how do you spread this idea? And we don't have time, quite frankly. That's the biggest challenge I think that we're faced with right now is how do we give all that information and teach all the everything that the students need to know about all this different type of media. And it's really a challenging
thing. I remember being back in journalism school and the one question that my friends or colleagues would pose to me out of the blocks was, journalism, print or broadcast? Today, there's no hard line of demarcation between the two.
The boundaries are gone. The boundaries are gone. Yeah, and that's increasingly what you have to do. And it's, as I often tell students, and you know, it's just like what I, you know, for me, the basic skill that we had to learn was how to type. you know, boy, it's not that easy anymore. You know, maybe I also took photography classes and we had to learn how to develop the wet process of developing film and all those sorts of things. But boy, there's a lot more skill that the students need to learn today than I ever had to learn. You know, often tell students, I said, if I was starting over again, I think I'd learn programming. You know, that's what I think you need. And I think that would be incredibly valuable to know those sorts of things. I don't know that, right? And boy, if I was starting over again, I think I would.
You've mentioned writing several times. Yeah. Has the manner in which you teach a journalist to write today have to change or evolve because of these new mediums?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, I think one of the things that we need to realize is that a lot of our journalism students are – I mean, at some level it hasn't. I mean, at one level, I guess let's put it this way, that we're still telling stories, right? And I try to get that across to students in the when I teach writing is that you have to understand that that's basically what you're doing. You're right. You're telling a story. And that hasn't changed, you know, the way that you tell a story. And there's still a lot of aspects of journalistic writing are still very formulaic, and that hasn't changed. You know, you have
the
a
who,
lead,
where,
the,
what,
right,
when,
where to throw in a quote, and those sorts of things. And you know, you can, and once you learn the formula, what I try to get across to students is learn the formula and then move on from it. Like try to expand it, do something different. But you got to learn the formula, right? You got to learn the structure of how this all goes. And the thing that's so interesting is that structure is increasingly being used across not just within journalistic outlets, but within entities that you would never consider to be doing journalistic work. You know, the rise of what we refer to as native advertising, right? This content that appears to be really news stories, but it isn't really news stories. And you see that in all major newspapers now.
Embedded onto websites, on the home pages.
On websites. You know, Starbucks does journalistic stories, right?
Yeah.
And and the people who are writing that are trained in the journalistic tradition. They're taught to write in that journalist name. It's advertising copy or public relations copy that's really sort of masquerading as a news story. But those people are not written – I mean those stories are not written by journalists per se or what we would ever call journalists back in my day.
An absolutely independent voice.
Right, yeah.
Not subject to the whim of a corporate executive who wants to sell a product.
Absolutely. This is written – for a purpose, right? I mean, not just informing the public. It's written to system to draw attention to some entity that wants to advertise or wants to promote itself. And so that's changed. But, you know, but the structure is still there, right? Probably the biggest change is trying to think a little bit about how you put and you translate that into audio or video, which I never had to worry about. And writing, as you know, writing for audio or video is an entirely different creature. And that's the thing that I think that students are that I really admire about our students, because they are able to make that transition from this is, you know, the print or the written aspect of it, and I can take this and I can move this and I can tell that story with video and I can tell it with audio, and it's just entirely different. And you have to write in different ways for those different types of media.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is David Allen. David is a professor at UWM's Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies. He recently was awarded a wonderful distinction by the university, named Distinguished Undergraduate Teacher of the Year at UWM. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
You're in rich company. We have a lot of fabulous faculty members on campus, and so you were nominated by your colleagues and by students.
Yeah.
I read some of the nominations, and they talked about how they felt that. I remember reading one comment from a student who said, David taught me everything I hoped I would learn when I came to journalism school, how to think, how to write, how to be compassionate.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
Yeah. It was really nice. You know, it's one of the nicest things about that award is that, you know, the evaluation is fairly rigorous. You have a number of your mentors in other departments who come in, or your peers in other departments who come and watch you teach and observe your teaching and watch your interaction with the students. And they look at your materials that you do and those sorts of things. And that's really nice, you know, to be honored by your peers. But I actually think that those letters, that one of which you made reference to, that's the thing that I'm most proud of, and the thing that really gets me, is because, you know, I think for all of us who teach at the university level, or at least I sincerely hope that that's the way it is for all of us, is that it's the students that are the most important thing. So, you know, I haven't actually read all of the letters. I've never actually seen them. Some people have shared with me what my students wrote.
Your wife doesn't want you to get a big head. She doesn't want you to read those.
But it's just, you know, it's an honor, you know, when hearing those wonderful things that my students say about me. I just like, it's a really humbling thing. You know, it's just, it really makes everything that I've done for the last 34 years really, really worth it.
One of the areas that that you focused on is ethics, journalism ethics. How do you teach ethics to a young person today entering a profession that has been labeled by politicians, by our president, as the propagators of fake news?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I think one of the things that I try to do and I've tried to do for a very long period of time is as I always tell the students, I am not some moral god, right? That you just and students sometimes fall into this trap. They see the faculty who teach them as sort of the authority figure, right? And this is, tell me what the right thing is to do. And I refuse to do that. I often tell the students, I said, if you ask me what the right thing is to do, I will refuse to answer that question. I said, because that's not my job. My job is not to tell you what the right thing is to do. My job is to help you find within yourself what you think the right thing is to do. And that's the struggle that they're adults. They have to come to that realization of what they're in. There are many ways of doing the right thing. A lot of it depends on what your guiding ethical values are and how you see the profession within a democratic society of what you ought to do. But you need to come to that on your own, not because Alan tells you you ought to do this. That's not ethical reasoning. That's not the best way to live your life.
And you're not going to be there 5 or 10 years from now in the newsroom when that journalist has to make a tough call.
Right. As we often talk about, you know, what are you going to do when it hits the fan, right? How are you going to – what are you going to make a decision on? And, you know, and increasingly I think in our society, you know, people are starting to realize that we need to increasingly teach students how to make these ethical decisions, not necessarily just by lecturing and telling them, this is the right thing that you have to do. That's not what they need to know. What they need to know is, when I'm faced with a really difficult ethical question, how do I think my way through this and evaluate and try to figure out, well, this is what I ought to do. And how do they make the decision when they are in a workplace and other people around them disagree with them? And how do they have that discussion about what the right thing is to do? And how do you move forward in thinking about those ideas?
And so just to get the students to even verbalize in the classroom their options helps them to develop their future actions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think getting them to think a little bit about that and, you know, that's what I've tried to do in teaching ethics from the beginning is just, you know, just emphasizing that I am not this authority figure here to tell you what the right thing is to do.
David, as we read stories, sad stories about newspapers folding, newspapers laying off people. I mean, here locally, you know, mm-hmm. news organizations doing buyout after buyout after buyout because the numbers just aren't working. They're not seeing the profit that they once did with classified advertising, almost evaporating. What hope do you have for these students that you're educating to see them actually get a job? Are there jobs out there today?
There are jobs out there. They have to be really flexible, right? I mean, one of the things that we talk about is, yeah, it's like there are all these people employing and they want journalists. They want people who are trained with those skills, right? It may not be in a traditional journalistic environment or just a traditional journalistic institution, but they are looking for people who can tell a story and put it into words and communicate ideas, and those things are incredibly valuable, right? I often tell my students, no one was punished or suffered from taking too many writing classes, right? So the more you can learn to write in different formats and understand those different formats, the better off you're going to be and better off the better positioned you're going to be to make it and to get a good job. Nobody ever suffered from not having enough writing skills, right? And so that's what I think is really the key, is understanding that there are many places today, you know, like websites and advertising companies that are really sort of employing really interesting and doing some interesting what we would traditionally refer to as journalistic work, but it's not really a journalistic organization. And that's, I think, going to be the really interesting way that all of this changes.
What about technology that the students need to leave the university with? Is a lot more expected of them today in terms of becoming that digital journalist that is able to do TV, video, radio?
Yeah, so there is a lot more expected of them. And I don't know if it's so much that they have to know it, but they need to be able to learn it and need to be able to pick it up fairly quickly. I don't know that there's many people who are going to say, well, you need to know everything, you know, as far as technology goes. But you need to be proficient at learning the technology enough so that you are able to pick it up fairly quickly. That's really an essential component of it. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges that we face as educators is exposing students to that technology, and also just the sheer cost of keeping labs up to date and buying and keeping those things available for the students. That's a tremendous challenge.
Do students ever get discouraged when they hear for example, our president disparaging journalists because they're all pushing fake news. What does that do to the morale of the next generation of scribes?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting to me. I've never, you know, I think at some level the students understand it for what it is. You know, I don't know that they look at it and think that they take a hit to them. That's what they want to do or anything like that. And I think that's what we try to do as well, is to get students to understand that when there are those kinds of attacks on institutions, we have to understand what the purpose of those attacks are, right? Which is often they're motivated by political reasons. They're less critiques of what it is that you do and more being done for political reasons to motivate political bases or things like that. And you know, I think students understand that. I think we can get them. So I don't know that it is demoralizing tremendously. I think, in matter of fact, maybe it invigorates them to some extent, you know, to want to go out and show that that's not what it is or, you know, something like that.
So you still see a lot of energy and tenacity.
I mean, some of the stuff that our students do is just astounding. You know, I really am amazed at the things that they do and their energy level and how they're producing all these things. I mean, even my former students who are working in the business, I talk with them now, and you know, and I just like, wow, life has changed so much. You know, I'm amazed at the what is required. You know, from the days I had one deadline a day. You know, and everything resolved around that one deadline. And once 1 o'clock in the afternoon hit, you know, well, things relaxed. Well, man, they've got deadlines every minute, you know, everything. They've got to turn out every story, every breaking story. And there are fewer of them than probably when I was, you know. And so there's not as many people to cover all these sorts of things as well. So, yeah, they have difficult jobs. I talk with them now and I sort of, boy, I don't know how you do that. You know, I was working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, and they're working more than that, I think. It's a challenging environment.
Well, continue the good work, David. Congratulations again on your distinguished undergraduate teaching award. And we'll look forward to hearing and seeing the work of some of those journalists that are still in the classroom today, but who knows, might be right here on Milwaukee's NPR someday soon.
Thank you very much.
David Allen, professor in the Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.